What Russia thought would take days continues to this day after now over a month in Ukraine. While the destruction has certainly been significant, the will of the people of Ukraine, both in and out of the military, say at least that's been resilient. Joining us now to share his analysis of what's been happening of late, what lies ahead, is a 34-year military veteran whose service includes senior U.S. defense attaché to Russia. He's also an author whose books include Swimming the Volga, a U.S. Army officer's experiences in pre-Putin Russia. We say good morning to retired Brigadier General Peter Ruzwak. Thank you for being here again today, sir.
Yes, good morning, Chris, and good morning to your listeners.
I want to give you the website, too, peterbzwack.net. Of course, we have a link at our homepage. So, General, we now have been looking at what's been happening in Ukraine for just over a month. As I said in the introduction, what have we learned about the Russian military over this time?
What we have seen is, frankly, something quite extraordinary that has surprised a lot of those of us that have studied this problem deeply. And I think that what's happened here is, if you could go all the way back 30 years to the breakup of the Soviet Union, the clumsy sort of Russian reforms and their bad performance in Chechnya and then in Georgia in 2008, the Russian military then went through a major reform between 2008 and 2014. We saw them invade Ukraine for the first time, eastern Ukraine, and they illegally annexed Crimea. I was there in our Moscow embassy at the time and saw that whole thing go down. And then the following year, Chris, they intervened in Syria, and in a small scale, they did a pretty good job of saving the Syrian regime, the Assad regime. But they used mostly elite forces, and they need to make that point. Then they've been in an ugly proxy war for the last 8 years with Ukrainians up in what they call eastern Ukraine, the Donbass, and that culminated in what is going on now today. And what we're seeing here is that the Russian military, while big, was not set up for a major ground offensive, air ground offensive in its history. I'm so sorry, I've got a fire truck going right by me.
That's quite all right.
They bitten off far more than they can chew with 200,000 plus or minus soldiers. A lot of those soldiers, Chris, are regular soldiers, meaning they're not elites, they're not special operations. And a number of them, 25 to 30% of them, and we remember our Vietnam experience, are draftees and conscripts. And if you read about it now, they're going through adding 130,000 more draftees. Now, those guys don't want to be there. And they're hearing about the fact that a very motivated, very angry Ukrainian military and population of 40 million people, plus or minus, are fighting them tooth and nail, and they are being attrited. They're suffering from a million cuts right now. So the Russian, this is not going well for the Russians. The word is beginning to filter up into the country. It's going to take time because the Putin regime has a real firewall. But the bodies are coming back, and it's really been ugly for them. What everybody, we overestimated the Russians, we underestimated the Ukrainian will to fight, and leadership, and we've seen this, matters. And who could have imagined that this young, untested comedian turned president in the first 4 days shows the brass you-know-what to stay in Kyiv, sit there, and face down Putin and galvanize the Ukrainian people into a real resistance. And this is driving Putin crazy. And so what we're seeing now is the Russians have been bloodied. Their troops are exhausted, especially out near the capital. They're regrouping. They're probably going to come back hard into the eastern Ukraine. But from a military history perspective, this is an extraordinary development that has occurred in the first 5 weeks, but it is far, Chris, from over. We remember in Chechnya and other places, the Russians will come back, they'll focus, and they'll come in with furious, overwhelming firepower, and I'll stop here. The revenge of the Ukrainians is just hanging on. The other side of that, though, is that we in the West, and not just the West, this is not just about the U.S. and NATO, this is the world of like-minded nations, have to stick up, because this is becoming a bigger fight, spiritually, ideologically, between autocracies and dictatorships in the world, and what we want to all be in what I call, you know, like-minded, free-minded nations. We could say democracies, but some nations are different, but like-minded, free-minded to stop them. So this is a critical, pivotal time, I believe, for our generation, and an especially a wake-up call for our younger generations that have never had to deal with anything like this, though 9/11 was pretty awful.
Thorough reader General Peter Zwack, his book Swimming the Volga, U.S. Army Officers' Experiences in Pre-Putin Russia, Peter B. Zwack, ZWACK.net, his website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You referenced the Russians repositioning to the east. Does that open a time advantage for Ukrainian forces? Because Russia is moving where Ukrainian forces already are. And if that's so, what's the best use of that time for the Ukrainians?
Well, I think that the Ukrainians will, first, I think the singularly most important thing is the Ukrainians have, the old line, they've got mojo now, they've got confidence. As a military guy, I just hope that they don't overreach in their counteroffensive if they do that. They have to be careful, because in 2014, 2015, they overextended themselves in pushing back and really got bloodied. So you got to be careful. Saying that, I think the Russians are going to just try to batter. First of all, I think there's going to be a punitive aspect of any Ukrainian fight in the east now, and I think it could be still very, very ugly, and the Ukrainian forces are arrayed. They're good. We've all been reading. We're afraid that from the south that the Russians might try to push up and encircle, if you will, the Ukrainian forces that are arrayed against East Ukraine. But I think everybody's watching it. Well, I think what we're seeing is rather extraordinary, Chris. It's really the first time in a big war, and this is a big, big war going on here, that the whole world, and then free imagery and all that, I mean, there's very little secrecy anymore in ground operations, because the whole world is watching from above, from media and everything else. The longer this goes on, to end on this one, the longer this goes on, the more stress on the Russian regime. We're beginning to read about some of their intelligence people getting fired or having problems, major problems in the military from the bottom and all the way to the seniors. Seven generals are reported to have been killed in Ukraine. That's extraordinary. So the Russians are in extremis. The longer the Ukrainians hold out, the harder it gets for the Russians. They want to go back now. It's vicious. It's personal for Putin, and they're going to try, I believe, bulldoze their way, in their mind, to victory while the whole horrified world watches. And the big question is, what does that horrified world do?
Although, as we can remember back from Vietnam days, and you can certainly remember what happened to Lyndon B. Johnson as president, when the bodies start coming home, a price has to be paid by somebody. Maybe that price will have to be paid by Putin's later versus sooner, probably, but that might be in his future, in his fortune.
Yeah, well, that's right. And if there's anything that we can say about authoritarian nations, the people surrounding the leader, and in this case Putin, that is sort of a pseudo-president but really runs the place like a mafia crime boss, these people around him are, what are they? They're certainly opportunists, but they are survivors. And if they see things getting really wobbly, or if he's taking them into a truly dark space, and it's happening now, and the Russian people, who on a human level, and that's what my book talks about, I'm an old Cold Warrior. It's the third time I'm a Cold Warrior. The first time when I was a young officer in the 1980s, I became a Cold War again in my mind during Russian invasion in 2014. And psychologically, today, I'm a Cold Warrior again because of the horrors in Ukraine. But I will say this, Truth in Lending, on a human level, and this is where I do hold some hope, I believe I like the Russian people and their culture, though this regime is monstrous and needs, and the Russian people need to take care of it.
His book is Swimming the Volga, U.S. Army's Officers' Experiences in Pre-Putin Russia, on the web, Peter B. Zwack, Zwack.net. We've linked over to our page for his book as well, and I advise you to read it because there are many lessons in personal living history, of which Brigadier General Zwack does share with his writings. Brigadier General Peter B. Zwack, thank you as always for your honesty and for your insights. Have a great day.
Chris, God bless you and your listeners, and let's hopefully we all get through this. It hasn't been so dangerous since the Cuban Missile Crisis, in my opinion.